Amen. We're going to go forward. God is going to work his thing out. Revelations chapter 5. Now, don't get scared because we're going to Revelations. I believe that the Lord is going to bless us. Amen. You go to that book. Amen. I pray that some of you found it by now. Because if you have trouble finding Revelations, we got a class for you. Revelations chapter 5. I want us to look at verse number 9, 10, and 12. Revelations chapter 5, verse number 9, verse number 10, and verse number 12. When you have it, say, I got it. Let me read this now into your hearing. He says, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals. For you are slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood. That's very important. Underline that. Out of every tribe, out of every tongue, out of every people, and out of every nation. And God, what you've done is you have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. Watch what he says in verse 12. He says, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power, to receive riches, to receive wisdom and strength, and honor and glory and blessings. And the word of God is already blessed. Watch this now. This is going to make sense in just a moment. He says, you have redeemed us to God by your blood. That's what I want to kind of touch on today. The blood did it. Okay. Okay, everybody say that. The blood did it. Now, my brothers and my sisters, as we endeavor to obey the voice of God, we've been teaching over these last few weeks about purpose and about destiny and about finding your place in life so that you can live a fulfilled life. And this is an acceptable teaching in the house of God, an acceptable conversation for all of us to have in the Christian community. Because every person in this room, especially if you are saved, you have a purpose. You have a destiny in God. And it helps us when we understand our purpose and our destiny, because it gives definition to our lives. It lets our life have meaning, and it allows life to really be worth the living. Because knowing that I'm headed somewhere in life, it allows me to have significance, and it brings a sort of cohesion to my life. That now, because life is not just going to be filled with good days, but it's going to have some bad days and some trials and some tribulations. But when I know I'm destined for something, I can better endure the vicissitudes of life because I understand that my life has a purpose. Somebody say it. I'm here on purpose. I'm here. Yes. And when your life has a purpose, then you can better fulfill and enjoy life because you understand the meaning of why you're here. And it's appropriate to teach on that. It's appropriate to teach on prosperity and abundance and to have principle-centered teachings in the house of God, because all of these things helps to allow us to live a quality of life. But it was Dr. Miles Monroe who said that when you don't understand the purpose of a thing, you tend to abuse it, or you tend to put it to abnormal use. And proper preaching and teaching in the house of God, even as it relates to our purpose and our destiny, should not be taught outside of teaching on the blood of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Because the blood of Jesus Christ is the center of our faith. It's the center of what we believe in, of what we put our trust and our hope into. It's not a piece of the puzzle. It is the puzzle. It's the foundation that the puzzle lays on. And the Holy Spirit arrested me several weeks ago, and he said, son, in your pursuit to minister to God's people, in your pursuit to make the gospel relevant and attractive. He says, don't move away from the authentic message of the blood of Jesus Christ. Because it's the blood of Jesus Christ that brings us back in connection with God. Oh, yes. It's the blood of Jesus Christ that allows us to begin our journey on destiny. And we do ourselves a disservice and the generation that is following us when we devalue the price that Jesus paid for all of us to have relationship with God. It's uncommon now in the house of the Lord to hear about the blood of Jesus. We don't hear anything about pleading the blood anymore. We don't hear anything about being blood washed anymore. No, we're chasing after all of the things that the blood produces, but we don't give reverence to the blood of Jesus Christ. And I come to lift up my voice in here and let you know that whatever you have, wherever you are in life, the blood did it for you. Because if it had not been for Jesus' blood being shed, y'all excuse me for being a little old school this morning, but my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness. Because watch this now, there is a sickness that every person in this room has and every person who has ever lived on this earth has. And every person, hear how I say this, who shall ever live in this earth will have. There is a sickness that no matter how, watch this, intellectual we become as a people, no matter how much our ability grows, no matter how genuine or sincere our efforts are, our own efforts are minuscule in trying to solve this type of sickness. It's a spiritual condition, and it plagues the heart of every person that's listening to my voice today. It has plagued the heart of everybody who have ever walked upon this green earth. And there is not a physician anywhere on this earth that can prescribe a cure for this sickness. Our minds are too finite. Our knees are too feeble. Our time in this universe is too limited to come up with a cure for this problem that humanity has. And let me tell you, it's not a black problem. It's not a white problem. It's not a Hispanic problem. It's not an Asian problem. It's a humanity problem. It's not a Democratic problem. It's not a Republican or independent problem. It's a problem that affects all of us who have been born into this earth. Because watch this, there is a plague of sin that each and every person in this room deals with on a daily basis. Oh, yes, it is. That there is a sickness that we can read about it in the newspaper. We see the symptoms of it on the news. That there is a sickness that only one prescription can cure. And because we have this sickness of sin in our lives, what this sickness has done is this sickness has caused God, watch this, to be separated from us. That's what happens when sickness is in your life. You become separated from God. Now, I know you might not think that's a big thing, but separation from God means eventual death. Hear how I say that. Separation from God means eventual death. It's like snipping a flower away from the vine. That once you snip it away, it may live for a day or two. But death has come to that flower because it has been separated from the vine. It has been separated from its source or from its, watch this, or from its position of strength. And every person in this room, when we sin, sin has separated us from the presence of God. And there's nothing you can do. You can't wash yourself up. You can't have willpower that's strong enough. You can't have focus that is tight enough to stop this problem because it's buried down in your spiritual and your human DNA. But the Holy Spirit told me to let you know that what you couldn't do for yourself, the blood did it. Because if it had not been for the shedding of blood, there would be no remission of sin. And God is saying, watch this, he's designed it so that if sin is in the earth, somebody has to pay the price for sin operating in our lives. And the price that has to be paid is blood has to be shed. And we see it in Old Testament scripture that every time an individual would sin, they would have to take, watch this, an innocent animal. Watch this. They would have to kill the animal and sprinkle the animal's blood on the altar that God may receive the innocent blood of the animal in lieu of their sins. Because God says, watch this, the only thing that's going to wash away your sinful nature is the shedding of blood. Yeah, I know this is a little doctrinal this morning. And so every time somebody sinned, an animal had to die. An innocent animal had to die. When God wanted to deliver his people from Egypt, he said, watch this, I'm going to send a plague upon Egypt. He says, but those of you who are my called out ones, those of you who are my chosen people, what I need you to do, he told them, watch this, and this was foreshadowing our salvation. He says, what I need you to do is go and kill an innocent lamb. Let the blood from that lamb drain in a basin. And they said, the Lord told them, listen, go and apply the blood on the doorposts of your house so that when the plague hit the land, watch this, read it in Exodus 12. He says, when I see the blood, he says, when I see the blood that has been smeared upon the doorposts of your house, I'm going to pass over your house and the plague will not get to your home. Oh, God. See, we don't have no teachings like that no more, because there's something about when God sees the blood. There's something about when God looks at you, but he looks at you through the lens of the blood of Jesus Christ. He says, when I see the blood. And I want to submit to you today, especially if you are saved, that when God sees you, he don't sees you, he sees the blood. And the reason I can have a purpose and the reason why I can have a destiny in life is not because of me, it's because of the blood that's covering me. I know you can't see it with your natural eyes, but when God looks at me through eternity's porthole, God sees the blood of Jesus over my life. And what the blood of animals did for those in Old Testament time, the blood of Jesus does for us today. Because the blood of Jesus stopped the curse of sin that was operating in our lives and caused us to be connected to God again. So when the blood was shed, I don't have to live in poverty no more, because I'm under the blood. I don't have to live with sickness anymore, because I'm under the blood. And we need to go back to that old time religion. It was good enough for my mother. It was good enough for my grandmother. And it should be good enough for me. That in the church we ought to start seeing people talking about pleading the blood. Oh, somebody in this room today, you ought to go home this afternoon. I commission you to go home and run every devil out of your house by pleading the blood. Oh, you got to let that devil know that one of us are going to leave here today and it ain't going to be me, because I'm going to plead the blood of Jesus. Now, devil, you might wear me out, but you can't do nothing when the blood. Oh, I wish I had somebody that received that today. I wish if you had enough faith to say, I plead the blood over my mind. I plead the blood over my checkbook. I plead the blood over my children. Oh, man. Yeah, somebody just say the blood, the blood, the blood. Come on, you got to get comfortable, because the blood did it, baby. The blood broke it. The blood opened it. The blood gave me access. Some of you are not supposed to be here today. You're not supposed to be in health today. That cancer should have took you out, but the blood was there. I don't know who I'm talking to right there. That no, door shouldn't have been open for you, but the blood was there. God says there has to be some shedding of blood for the remission of sin. Golly, and every one of us in this room, we have to have a reverence for the blood. You have to know that the blood is able to do all things but fail. Boy, the blood is like Robitussin. Oh, in my house, when you got sick, Robitussin cured everything. Oh, my arm hurt. Drink some Robitussin. Oh, I think I broke my leg. Drink some Robitussin. And that's how the blood is. That when you got head problems, plead the blood. When you got money problems, plead the blood. When you got mind problems, plead the blood. Because the blood of Jesus is able. Who am I talking to in here this morning? Why the blood, Pastor? Why the blood? Why? Why the blood? Why did God set it up? Why did God set it up like this? Oh, Ma, won't you help your neighbor? Touch him and say, the blood did it, the blood. Mm-mm. And some of us want to stand in our own might. Want to talk about our righteousness. No, I got my righteousness because I put faith in the blood. Why the blood? Number one reason why he wanted the blood, Chris, is because the blood, when God saw it, it represented a sacrifice. That church say sacrifice. See, watch this. Because God said the penalty of sin is death. Something has to die because God is too holy to dwell in the presence of sin. He says, I'm too clean to put myself in this dirty environment. And he said, when I see the blood, I know that something has been sacrificed. That, see, we don't hear that word a lot in the common church because nobody wants to sacrifice. Oh, we want everything to be convenient. We want everything to fit in our day and in our schedule. We don't even pray anymore because we don't want to sacrifice. We don't serve in the church anymore because we don't want to sacrifice. We don't want to fast anymore because we don't want to sacrifice. But you have to understand what sacrifice is. Sacrifice is when one thing dies that something else can live. See, and what happens is if you want something else to live in your life, you got to be willing to make a sacrifice. But God says, when I see blood, I know that something died so that somebody can live when I see the blood. It's about sacrifice. And if you're in this place today, I want to let you know that Jesus sacrificed so that you can be saved and that when you die, you can experience eternal life. But while you live, you can experience life in abundance. He sacrificed. Thorns was on his head. He took stripes on his back. He hung on the cross. It was a sacrifice. And I want to let you know, if there's anything worthy of you pursuing today, God says it's going to require some sacrifice. Or you want your marriage to come together, it's going to require some sacrifice. You want your career to take off, it's going to require some sacrifice. He says, so when I see the blood, I know that there was a sacrifice. That this is why Paul wrote to the church in Rome. He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that I don't want you to die, but just present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Not your will, but kill your will to do the will of God. Become sold out to God because I recognize what Jesus did. And if Jesus can give his life, at least I can give my body. He says, sacrifice. Not only does the blood represent sacrifice, but number two, the blood represents substitution. The blood represents substitution because there was a penalty that you were supposed to pay. But because he paid the penalty, you don't have to pay the penalty because he was your substitute.